We're coming today to the third Sunday of the imposed lockdown by the government, and we are not permitted to meet as a congregation of the Lord's people. But I want us in our own homes today to meditate upon the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. The first verse of the chapter says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphrates. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in colour to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word for his name's sake. The mention of the book of Daniel fills some Christians with hesitation. Scenes of prophetic imagery are met with a reluctance from the difficulty in obtaining an understanding of those very things. But that ought not to be. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all scripture is profitable. The meaning of visions and prophecies in this book is not the focus of our study this morning. Instead, I draw your attention rather to the effect of divine revelation upon the heart of Daniel. He was literally a man with an unbearable burden, and that burden was caused by the revelation that the Lord had given to him. It is that experience that is recorded in this 10th chapter, and I want to consider it today, the vision that Daniel received that left him without strength. He bears testimony to that in verse number 8. He says, "Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." Again in verse number 11, he says, "And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." In verse 15, he says, "I became dumb." Verse 16, he says, "I have retained no strength. There remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." Again in verse number 17, we have reference made to this experience, the divine revelation that God revealed to him was unbearable. It could not be borne in his own strength with human strength. The effect of divine revelation upon Daniel is an interesting and a valuable source of study. And if you take some time to read through the book of Daniel, you will find not only those visions and revelations that God gave to him, but you will also discover the effect that those same revelations had upon his mind and upon his heart. And I would encourage you to read through the book of Daniel. For instance, in chapter 7, verse 15 and verse 28, he says that he was grieved in spirit. He was troubled in mind. His countenance was changed. Then in chapter 8, he says in the verse number 27, "I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days." All these are the effects of the divine revelation that God made known to him. When we come to chapter 10, a similar experience is recorded. Verse 1 to 3, Daniel seeks the Lord. He's found in the attitude of prayer and fasting, waiting before the Lord. Then we come to verse 4 through to 6, and the appearance of one who is characterized here with the same description as that which has been given to the Lord in other places. Indeed, it is my conclusion that it was the Lord himself who appeared to Daniel. And so we have this appearance of the Lord. Then we have the unfolding of the revelation. The Lord gives him understanding. In verse number 14, "Now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." There is the unfolding and the understanding imparted to him of this revelation. And then we have this process whereby Daniel is strengthened. The revelation weakens him. It becomes a burden that is unbearable. He is left without strength. But alongside this, we have this process whereby the Lord strengthens him so that he is able to understand and he is able then to apply the knowledge and the understanding that God has given to him. I want us to look at this experience. I believe that it is profitable for us and it is relevant to our own circumstances in which we find ourselves. Consider the details. In the first place, there is set before us here the determination of Daniel. Daniel's determination. It's given to us in verse number 12, when the Lord says to him, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." The Lord highlights the fact that Daniel set his heart to understand, to receive understanding in the visions of God. Now, Daniel lived through the time of the Babylonian captivity when the Jews were taken captive by the Babylonians. He was one of the first to be taken captive. He lived in exile for 70 years. He lived in exile until the Babylonian dynasty was defeated by the Persians. And Daniel also lived to witness the decree that was made by Cyrus, King Cyrus of the Persians, for the Jews to return to their own land and to build again the house of God. And what great jubilation there was at that time when many of the Jews returned and they set about the laying again of the foundation of God's house in Jerusalem. Daniel did not return to Jerusalem. He remained in the land of captivity. Perhaps the effect of old age prevented him undertaking the journey. But it's at this point, it's at this stage, that he receives this experience in Daniel chapter 10. And we're told in verse 1 that it was in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, when Cyrus became king of Babylon, he issued that decree, and it seemed as if all was going well. But it wasn't long after that the work in Jerusalem was hindered. We read of that in the book of Ezra, chapter 4. And we find adversaries rising up against the people of God. Verse 5 tells us that verse 4, "Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. And they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia." And when you read the remaining part of that chapter 4 of Ezra, you'll discover the subsequent actions of these adversaries. They wrote letters against the Lord's people and this great project of rebuilding the house of God. And the effect was, in the reign of Artaxerxes, that he gave commandment, verse 21, to cause these men to cease, and that this city should be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Verse 24, "Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem." So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And perhaps the news has filtered back. I am sure Daniel was desirous to hear of the progress, to hear how things were going, to hear how the work was progressing, only to receive news that the adversaries in Jerusalem had risen up and had sought to hinder. Indeed, they did hinder, they did frustrate the advancement of the work of God. It ceased during that time. And it's at this point that he is given a revelation of what would befall his people in the latter days. God showed him what he was doing in relation to his own people. And at first, he did not understand. There was a great warfare, a great struggle within his mind and within his heart as he heard the report, as he heard of the outworkings of providence and the hindrance of the work, and then receiving this vision, there is a great agitation, there's a great warfare, a great struggle in his mind that he does not understand it. And so he sets himself to understand, to gain an understanding of what the Lord had said and what the Lord was permitting by way of providence. He gave himself to prayer, to seek the Lord, that the Lord would open or unlock the meaning of what was happening and what he was doing. I believe when we look at Daniel in the opening part of this chapter, setting himself by prayer and fasting to understand the vision that God had given, that his action is most relevant for the time that we are passing through. We must set ourselves to understand the events of recent days, the response to the pandemic and the subsequent lockdown of churches, preventing us from meeting together, in one sense hindering the work of God. Sadly, it has been responded to by some Christians as business as usual. The church has no ability to meet in the usual way. And what we find now is the church seeking to replicate what it had before. Carry on as normal. Business as usual. But perhaps the Lord has permitted this interruption, this standstill, because he's saying to us, I do not want you to carry on as you were doing before. I do not want business as usual, but rather that the church would set itself to understand the purpose of God, to understand the will of God, to understand what the Lord is doing. The Lord recognized this determination on the part of Daniel from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. Daniel was the man recognized by the Lord, heard by the Lord, because he set himself to understand. And in this particular circumstance that the church is going through, not only in our land, but indeed across the world, in many places across the world, it is a time when we must set ourselves to understand, to receive understanding of God's way. You can see his determination. But notice secondly the delay that he encountered. His resolve to seek the Lord for understanding involved a time of waiting. It's identified here as 3 weeks, verse number 2. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And when the Lord eventually appeared to him, in verse number 12, he says, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, thy words were heard. From the first day, he was heard. From the very first day that he knelt before the Lord and began to pray that God would make known and give understanding in this revelation that he had given to him. From the very first day, his words were heard, but he did not receive the answer. And he did not receive the understanding that he sought for this period of 3 weeks, until this period had passed. That delay in itself is most interesting. It was a manifestation of divine sovereignty, a reminder to Daniel that the Lord works in his own time, not in our time. He works to his own schedule, not to our schedule, and therefore we must wait. In verse 17, Daniel makes reference to himself. He uses a form of address that was common among the Hebrews by a servant, a form of address by a servant speaking to his superior. He says in verse 17, "For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord?" He refers to himself as a servant, indicating that during that time of waiting, even though the Lord had heard his prayer from the very first day, the answer had not been given. The delay between the hearing and the answer being granted was a demonstration of the sovereignty of God, that the Lord is not obliged to us, but that we are his servants and we must submit to him. You can see in verse 19, the delay also heightens a desire within his heart. "And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak." Let my Lord speak. Can you see the scene? Day after day, Daniel is before the Lord. There's this delay in the Lord's answer. And throughout that time period, Daniel's mind is being reinforced by the sovereignty of God. The fact that he is the Lord's servant and must wait upon him. And as those days pass, there is an increase, there is an intensifying of the desire to hear the Lord speak. All around us, there are many voices, and those voices only create confusion. But as the people of God, we must desire to hear the Lord speak. Let my Lord speak. It's his voice that matters. It's his word that is truth. Let my Lord speak. The delay intensified this desire to hear the voice of God. But then we come to the degree of recovery. The vision itself pertained to the people of Israel in the latter day. The effect upon Daniel, as we've observed, was unbearable. He's left without strength. But the Lord initiates a process of recovery. And that recovery came in various degrees. If you look at verse number 8 of the chapter, he says, "I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands." I want you to notice that the first action on the part of the Lord in this process of recovery strengthened Daniel to enable him to kneel. He was set upon his knees and upon the palms of his hands. The image here is of a man prostrate before the Lord, bowed before the Lord. Then when you come to verse 11, he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. First of all, he is strengthened to kneel in prostration before the Lord. And then the process strengthens him to stand upright. To stand upright. Then you come to verse 15. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I sent my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. You'll notice that he is strengthened to speak. He is strengthened to kneel. He is strengthened to stand upright. He is strengthened to speak. And his conclusion is this: he strengthened me. You take that process of recovery, the recovering of strength by degrees. Strengthened to kneel in prostration before the Lord, to worship the Lord, to acknowledge him. Strengthened to stand upright, to stand in conformity to God's will, to God's holiness and God's law. Then strengthened to speak unto the Lord, to commune with the Lord. What is the picture that is emerging? It is that every aspect of a Christian's life, every aspect of the spiritual life, is dependent upon divine strength. And Daniel's testimony on account of this experience is this: he strengthened me. He's brought to the place where he recognizes, where he realizes, where he acknowledges that he can do nothing without the Lord. The very essence of spiritual life, whereby the heart bows before the Lord, prostrate before him, depends upon his strength. To stand upright, to live according to God's will, depends upon his strength. Our communion with him depends upon his strength. The Lord is teaching Daniel that every aspect of the spiritual life is dependent upon divine strength, being energized by the Spirit of God. And that brings us finally to his discovery, what he discovers, the source of this strength. In verse number 19, and when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. He declares in verse 18, he strengthened me. Now in verse 19, the spotlight is upon the source of this strength, the means by which the Lord strengthens his people. When he had spoken unto me, it's the word of God. The same word that slays our own strength, we read of that in verse 9. He says, when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep in my face, and my face toward the ground. Verse 11, when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. That word slays our own strength, and yet at the same time, it imparts divine strength. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. The Lord is teaching Daniel that every aspect of the spiritual life is dependent upon divine strength. And that divine strength is imparted to us by the word of God, the word that has proceeded from his mouth. You can see the Lord directing Daniel's attention to that very principle in verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. The word scripture refers to that which is written. the spoken word conveyed to writing. And the Lord summarizes it with the word truth. It is the scripture of truth. Thy word is truth. The Lord is calling his church back to his word. There is a great conflict in the spiritual realm. Indeed, this chapter and this experience that Daniel had brought that to his attention. Verse 13, the Lord said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. That's a reference to the spiritual realm, to evil spirits in high places. The great conflict that is ongoing in the spiritual realm. Powers of darkness withstanding, opposing, resisting. It's the unseen conflict. Those powers resisting the outworking of God's eternal purpose and its effect upon the earth. We must not be unmindful of that. There is an effect. That spiritual conflict in the unseen world has an effect upon the kingdoms of this world, and it has an effect upon the affairs of Christ's church still in this world. It's only in the scripture of truth that we discover that. It's only in the scripture of truth that we come to an understanding of these things that are unseen by the natural eye. But the same word, when understood by believers, by the Lord's people, will impart divine strength for the fulfillment of God's will in our life and in the life of the church upon this earth. Ponder these words as we come to an end today. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Daniel came to this conclusion in the midst of his experience, receiving this vision, that broad and unbearable burden, weakened until he received strength from the Lord, and that strength came by the word of God. This is a time when the Lord is calling his church back to his word, and therefore back to himself. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And I encourage you today to turn your ear away from all the voices and all the noises in this world and desire to hear the voice of God. Let my Lord speak. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake.